Good day, folks, and welcome to yet another edition of the Citizen Talk, where we speak to different people from, you know, different backgrounds, you know, who are here to try to help us unpack some of the most difficult issues that the country is faced with. And today we welcome Kwena Mangope. He's the chairperson of Action SA in the Northwest Province. I'm sure many, when you hear the surname Mangope, well, you ask yourself, who is Kwena Mangope? Well, he's the son of the former president of the former Bantustan, Bophuthatswana, Tswana, Lucas Mangope. So we're welcoming now Mr. Kwena Mangope, who's the chairperson of Action SA, to our studios. Mr. Mangope, thank you so much for gracing our studios with your presence. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you very much for inviting me. I feel honored and privileged that I could come and visit your studios. Mm. And I hope our interaction is going to be helpful, not only to yourself, but to your listeners.
Absolutely. Well. No, we hope. So thank you so much, Mr. Mangope. We really wanted to talk to you about, you know, the issues in Northwest Province. For instance, when you look at Northwest as a province, you know, in terms of service delivery, it's no longer the same. The truth has to be told. It's no longer the same. In fact, it appears as if Northwest has become a shadow of its former self. When you look at the situation in Northwest, in as far as service delivery is concerned, how would you describe the situation there at the moment, Mr. Mangope?
Well, I would want to say that there is absolutely no service delivery. I haven't seen any since the democratization of this country in 1994. Mm. Yes, a lot was promised and a lot was expected, but I have not seen anything, Stephen, to be honest with you, relating to service delivery, particularly by the municipalities who are supposed to be the agent that would deliver service delivery as it were.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think has led to that situation?
I would imagine that it's a number of factors, really. First and foremost, what comes to mind is that the CADA preference in employment opportunities in these municipalities was the first thing that comes to mind. Secondly, I don't think people that are deployed or hired in these municipalities are well qualified to run municipalities. Mm. And I think those are the main issues. Mm. CADA preference in employment opportunities. And particularly, and more significantly, people who are not qualified to run municipalities, nor do they have the skills, nor the experience to run municipalities.
Yeah. And I'm sure you are currently, you know, enjoying your pension. You know, that's what you've been doing all along. Then what motivated you, or what made you, you know, decide that, you know what, I want to come back into politics, you know, join Action SA in Northwest?
Stephen, as a pensioner,
yes,
having served this country in the army, and also having been appointed a military attaché in India for 3 years,
yes,
I've dedicated and served this country honorably, to my best knowledge, mm, in those capacities. Now, I went into retirement not hoping that I would be
forced to come back.
But I was forced to come back by the circumstances prevailing, which I can identify as we are headed towards a failed state. Mm. Now, having traveled the world, I've seen what failed states do and what becomes of the citizens of a failed state. Mm. Now, it is unfortunate that a country like South Africa would be warned or is totally going the route of a failed state.
Yeah.
Because of lack of will, power from the ruling party, I would say, for 28 years, we have not made any impact, a change in the lives of our people. In fact, in my view, we are in a worse situation than we were prior 1994.
When you look at the situation today, and you think back to, you know, the warnings that were made by your late father, you know, to say, be careful of these people that you are voting into power, you know, prior to 94. What comes to your mind? And I'm sure that's something that still crosses your mind to this day, especially considering what, you know, the situation is in Northwest.
Well, let me share this with you.
Yes.
Stephen. My father used to, when I used to tell me time and again when we met over dinner or whenever we socialized.
Yes.
As a family, he would say to me, you know, I say things, but people don't hear me. That's what he used to say. Now this every time comes into my mind to say he did make that warning, to say this is the direction that I think we as a people should take.
Yes.
I don't know whether you have had the opportunity to read his book entitled A Place for All. This is what his dream was all about in terms of the then Mputatswana.
Yes.
For the people to know that they can do things themselves. And indeed, people knew that they were self-reliant. People had to make sure that they used every talent and skill they had to be able to make a living.
And so, sorry to cut you there, Mr. Mangope. Talking about skill and talent, I mean, you remind me of, you know, the days of the now defunct Radio Bob, your Bob TVs, your Radio Mabatus of this world, the talent that was produced. I mean, some of the people who used to work for those stations are, you know, today as we speak, working for some of the biggest stations in the country here in Joburg. You can name them. I mean, the likes of, you know, your Glenn Lewis's of this world, Lawrence Tabani, formerly known as Lawrence Dubes, your Tim Mudises. So that's the kind of leadership that you think is required even today to say, and which was there during the Mputatswana days, people were given freedom to express themselves, to do what they want.
People were given, were free to express themselves,
yes,
to develop their talents, to the highest level that they could. Now, you are talking about a Radio Bob.
Yes.
Now, or Mabatu, Mputatswana Television.
Yes.
Now, let me divert a little bit and say to you, I don't know whether you know the Mabana concept.
Yes.
Now, that is a lost opportunity, because Mabana concept was a concept whose primary aim was to develop young kids at a very, very young age. And that center produced a number of many talented people as we speak today. And they are all over South Africa,
yes,
displaying their talents and skills and knowledge that they acquired in Mabana, the then Mabana, in Mputatswana. And there were about seven of those that were established right through the then Mputatswana.
Yes.
We talk about Luhurutse, we talk about Tlhabane, we talk about Tabanchu, we talk about Taung, to name a few, where people, young children, knew that after school they would go there to be exposed to a number of things where they could identify their talents.
Yeah.
And not only identify their talents, where their talents would be improved on by people who were qualified. Now we are talking about these things. Now what about the training colleges,
yes,
that were closed? What about the nursing colleges that were closed? So there are a number of things that one can talk about that unfortunately are now non-functional, stopped. I don't know what informed that the then government when they took over, but that's where we are now today, unfortunately.
And now, when you look at issues of service delivery in Northwest, if you can maybe mention a few of those issues that really stand out, what would you say are those?
Can I just start by saying the maintenance of roads?
Mm.
Let's just talk about maintenance of roads.
Yeah.
Roads in most parts of the Northwest are in a terrible state.
Mm.
I was in Mahikeng last weekend for a function, and I was horrified to see the way the roads are in the township.
Yes.
I was totally horrified.
Mm.
And to realize that they've been there for ages. One can see.
Yes.
They've been there for a long time. And no, it doesn't seem there's anybody who cares to make sure that roads are back in, to the state where they should be.
Yes.
So the services in our clinics in the villages, often there are no medications. Often the clinics are understaffed.
Yes.
And what is the alternative? They've got to, let me talk about a situation like in my village. They've got to drive from Mutswedi 38, 40 kilometers to Ziras to seek medical help.
Yeah.
When we have clinics that are understaffed to start with, besides being understaffed, often there are no medication in our clinics.
Mm. Sure.
Now, we have a department, a provincial department of health, which is supposed to be servicing these clinics.
Mm.
Now, I'm talking about rural clinics, let alone clinics in townships.
Townships, yes.
But I would imagine the challenges are almost the same.
Yes. And I mean, talking about challenges, when one looks at the number of local municipalities there that have been placed under administration, it's horrific. It's really worrying.
It's a sad state of affairs. Now, you are talking about municipalities. Don't forget that there were departments that were placed under administration.
Yes.
A few years ago. And seemingly, some of those departments are still under administration.
Mm.
Now, when you place the Department of Finance under administration, what impact does it have on service delivery?
Mm.
What impact does it have on municipalities to be able to provide the services that is expected of municipalities?
Mm. Mm.
Now, this is a very, very sad state of affairs. You would know that the Auditor General has made a report that is clearly demoralizing, if not humiliating, particularly in the Northwest, about the state of affairs in our municipalities.
Mm.
Now, this is a sad state of affairs. Now we need to fold our sleeves. That is why, amongst other things, I said I would like to be part of fixing this country.
Yes.
Be a pensioner that I am, I then joined Action SA because I identify fully with the values espoused and promoted by Action SA.
Mm.
And I believe in the leadership of Action SA, and I hope we are able to win elections in 2024 to be able to make changes in the lives of our people.
Mm.
Because Stephen, the resources are there.
Yeah.
They need to be managed properly. The resources are there, Stephen. Make no mistake about
yes.
it. They just need to be managed properly. And how do you manage them properly? You manage them properly by getting appointing people qualified in specific areas
mm.
to be able to run those paths.
Mm.
I mean, I call them paths. You may call them education path, economic path, infrastructural path, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. Sure. Interesting time. Well, we are in conversation with Action SA's chairperson in the Northwest Province, Mr. Gwena Mangope, to talk to us about, you know, the issues there affecting residents in that troubled province, but also looking ahead as to looking ahead to the 2024 general elections, you know, what change would they bring in if they are voted, you know, into power? And talking about that, Mr. Mangope, many people are really, really angry. People are frustrated across the board over issues of lack of service delivery. People have had enough. In fact, they've reached a point of no return, as some people may put it. If somebody's listening, as a despondent, a resident of Northwest, what message would you give to them to say, if you vote for me, if you vote for Action SA in Northwest in 2024, this is what we will do to try and improve, you know, your living conditions in Northwest?
That's a very appropriate question, Stephen.
Yeah.
I have said this many a times at the branches that we have launched in the Northwest, that if we were to be voted into power in Northwest particularly, my priority, Stephen, would be to fix municipalities.
Mm.
That would be my program, to fix municipalities. Now, to say to fix municipalities is a very general
yes.
statement.
Yes, because the issues there are so complex, right?
The issues are so complex. Mm. But however, I am also realistic of the fact that we are going to get a lot of resistance by people who are in those municipalities.
Mm.
But my first priority would be to fix the municipalities. And how do I do that? I would want to do that by making sure that we appoint qualified, experienced and people with skills to run a municipalities.
Mm.
If it means I must go back to people who used to work in those municipalities
mm.
who are retired like me and ask them to come back to come and make a contribution, I would go that step
mm.
as well.
Mm.
E.g. also in the issue of education.
Yes.
If we were to be in power, I would go back to the teachers that are retired. I know most of them, they still have the energy, they still have the zeal to come and
yeah.
serve.
The knowledge as well. Yeah.
And the knowledge as well. And one other thing, talking about schools, I would really want, if we were to be in power, we should neutralize, we should make an effort to neutralize the influence of trade unions.
Mm.
Trade union is... Trade unions, there's nothing wrong about it being a trade union.
Mm.
But it is what people do within the trade union.
Yes.
But my aim would be to fix the municipalities by appointing skilled, qualified, competent people, irrespective of their party affiliation.
Mm.
Irrespective of their party affiliation. The criteria would be, is a person qualified? Is a person honorable? Is he an upstanding person who is not going to be there for self
enrichment, mm-hmm.
but for the sake of the people? Our people need service, Stephen.
Yes.
And we are the people to provide that service.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my priority.
Mm.
Fixing of the municipalities. Neutralization of unions, particularly in schools as well,
mm.
not only in schools, generally,
mm.
That would be my priority. And of course, to say to our people, we should not be reliant on government to give us money, like it is the grants, the so-called grants. This you are enslaving people by doing that. And actually people think that they are entitled to be given money without making any effort themselves to improve their lives.
Wow, interesting. And again, to somebody who might be listening to this podcast interview, Mr. Mangope, you'll remember back then, and I always like to go back, Mafikeng, for an example, used to be the place to be, you know, and as far as entertainment is concerned. In fact, in my previous discussion with Bongani Baloyi, actually made mention of the fact that there's a recording, big recording studio based in Mafikeng, where the likes of Donna Summer, Michael Jackson used to come and record a couple of songs. Even our very own Hugh Masekela's of this world used to go and, you know, record stuff there. How would you revive those institutions of, you know, entertainment, but also broadly speaking, looking at, you know, tourist attraction? You've got artists, for instance, you know, it's been battling with this plant, green plant that's been growing in the dam, you know, keeping people away sort of, you know, over the years. How would you revive entertainment as a whole in Northwest?
Well, I would want to say that I would go back to the drawing board that I would remember, that drawing board that was used by the Botswana administration then, in making sure that entertainment comes back to Mabatu. You are talking about the recording studios. Those recording studios were, I'm told, by very highly knowledgeable people who came from abroad, said those were recording studio was one of the best that they could have seen in their profession. Now, unfortunately, it is what it is today, and there is no accountability what happened to the equipment in those recording studios. These are some of the challenges that I told you about, that we are going to have a lot of resistance. We are going to have to do a lot of investigations on what happened to the properties that were government-owned. Let me give you an example. Sebo was an institution that was mainly established to look after the workers of Botswana.
Yes.
Now, we don't know what happened to those funds that were that had accumulated over the period of Botswana government existence. Now these are some of the things that we will have to go back and investigate. It's going to take a while. You have just seen now with the Zondo Commission how long it took to be able to unearth a lot of corruption in 30 years, almost. Now, we will have to go that route as well in Botswana. Now you are talking about bringing back entertainment. I think the potential is still there. We need to upgrade the facilities that are there. We need to make them attractive. Tourism, we have facilities. We need to make them attractive again. And, of course, the other challenge that we have, I don't know when last were you in some of the hotels in in the Northwest?
Yes.
Let me talk specifically about Sun City. Most of the people employed there are foreigners. Now, what has happened to the people that started those projects, who were trained in those fields, when now we have foreigners in the employed there in their hundreds. Now, one should be realistic and say we are going to find a lot of resistance. But definitely we must be prepared to put things right. We cannot afford to perpetuate the situation as it is.
And then you've been, you know, going to different areas of Northwest, you know, in trying to garner support, you know, people to join Action SA. What has the reception been that you've been receiving from the people on the ground?
Well, the people on the ground is a very, very general statement. I've been receiving a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of excitement from people who joined Action SA. And I have been getting a lot of messages from people who say, look, we have been waiting for you to come back, to come and revive and restore the legacy of your late father. Now, it's not only about restoring the legacy of my father.
Yes.
It's about restoring the dignity of our people, because most of those, the legacies that people talk about, those things were not achieved by my father alone. He had the support of the people of Northwest, who believed in his philosophy, who believed in what he believed in the ability of the people of Botswana then to be able to do things for themselves. Hence, every time he would say, "Bagaitsu, the last thing that we have ourselves only. Rena le rona. We don't have any other thing else but ourselves, determination and goodwill, and we are able to make it." Now, let me give you an example.
Talking about
legacies. I don't know how, do you know how the then University of Botswana was constructed and
Unibo, no.
My father went out of his way to talk to people to say we need to start our own university.
Wow.
And but we don't have the funds to be able to start an institution like that. So he appealed to all people to say, make a contribution, even if it's a 20 cents, even if it's a goat, a sheep, a cow, we must start a university which will be called the University of Botswana. That is how that university came to be established.
Sure.
By people, old people, pensioners, making contributions. Believing in
the dream.
In the dream of doing things for themselves. Now, I am in a fortunate position to share with you that there were drawings on the table for the Medical University of Botswana. There were drawings on the table for the Medical University of Botswana. Unfortunately, that did not happen as the new dispensation came through in 1994. But like I say, I was in that privileged position to know that there were drawings already on the table for the Medical University of Botswana.
Wow. Wow. Interesting times. Folks, we are in conversation with Mr. Kwena Mangope. He's the chairperson of Action SA in the Northwest Province. I usually call it the troubled Northwest Province, because I don't know how many times I've been there, you know, just driving through, you can just see there's just no services, you know, taking place or service delivery taking place. And talking about that lack of service delivery, Mr. Mangope, and I want to bring in again the issue of politics. What role do you think politics, and in particular, you know, the political infightings in the ANC, what role do you think have they played, or impact have they had on the state of poor service delivery in Northwest?
Well, it is difficult for me to talk on behalf of the African National Congress. What I know is what I read on the media.
Yes.
In the media. But clearly there is no smoke without fire. One would not want to be gullible and believe everything that one reads. But clearly the signs show that there is disharmony within the African National Congress. There is what is called slates, you know them. There is what is called factions. These are some of the things that I believe would have caused state of affairs in our municipalities to deteriorate mm-hmm. to the standard that we see today.
Mm-hmm.
Because an employee would want to be seen to be aligned with a particular faction
mm-hmm.
or particular slate. And obviously, I'm told that you pay a price for that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very, very sad story of a young man who was sitting at a dinner table with his in-laws, but he had a call as they were sitting at home over a dinner. He had a call from some government employees who said, "We are sitting at this particular place. You must report here now, because apparently, seemingly, he had won a tender."
Mm.
Now he had to leave his in-laws. He had to leave his home to go and pay for the bill of this group of people that had enjoyed themselves
sure.
in the afternoon. It was at about 12 p.m. midnight mm. when he had to leave the dinner table at his home with his in-laws to go and settle the bill for.
That group of
people who are politically aligned,
sure.
and this is what we are experiencing,
mm, mm.
And there are many of those that we hear. One does not have the proof, but I'm talking about one particular instance where I know that indeed this did happen.
And the sad thing about it is that. It's the ordinary citizens who are suffering, you know, who are crying, you know, for services, you know, to be delivered to them. And I mean, case in example, look at what's been happening in Lichtenberg, for instance, in just recent years, the number of service delivery protests that have been happening there. Have you been there and have you spoken to the people and what are they saying to you?
Well, That's a very sad state of affairs. I had a media interview 3 weeks ago in Mabato, and that is a typical example I gave about Litsobotla municipality,
yes.
where there were two mayors, where there are two municipal managers, where there are two speakers in a municipality.
Two like different factions fighting for power.
Two different factions. Mm. Correct. Now, you are saying, What is it that we are going to be doing there? We want to contest the by-elections as and when they are declared
yes.
in that municipality.
Uh-huh.
Now, we are the leadership of our Action SA in Ngakamudiri Mulema district, because Ditsobotla falls under Ngakamudiri Mulema district.
Mm.
Action SA is launching. It's supposed to be launching a branch this weekend in Litsobotla.
Uh-huh.
Now, we are definitely gearing ourselves to be contesting some wards in that municipality.
It'll be interesting to see what the outcome will be. Considering how angry people are, how fed up they are, with the empty promises that keep being made. To them and with little to show thereof.
Yeah, with little to show thereof. You are saying it would be interesting to see the outcome of the result.
Yes.
But let's not put the cart before the horse. let me give you a scenario.
Yes.
You know what is going to be happening now.
Hmm.
A lot of activities will be happening in Litsobotla, activities from the ruling party where food parcels are going to be the order of the day,
yeah.
where promises are going to be made, mm. where roads are going to, they're going to try and fix the roads,
yeah.
Just to get our people to forget about the pain they have gone through over the years. Mm. It's very, very unfortunate. Now, another important thing, Stephen, that we need to do, you and I,
yes.
is to educate our people to make informed decisions. It is not only the political parties that do. You should also do that from the media to educate our people. When I say to educate our people, I'm talking it broadly.
Yes.
particularly when it is a time for elections. You see a lot of activity, a lot of engagement by political parties, but particularly the ruling party when it is time for elections.
Yes.
Now, we need to educate our people to say enough is enough. We cannot be fooled any longer. We need to know what your credentials. That is why, amongst other things, Action SA is one of the values of Action SA is ethical leadership. Ethical leadership is the cornerstone of taking our people forward. But people are elected, politicians are elected by citizens. So the citizens cannot abscond. They've got to take responsibility, especially after 28 years of misrule and mismanagement in this country. And the Zondo Commission is a clear example of what we have been going through in this country.
There's a video that I've watched and I've been asking myself a lot of questions as to what really transpired there. Now, this video is about Supra Maumapelo, right? The former premier of Northwest, with his leadership, from then in Northwest, going to visit your father when he was, very ill. What was the interaction? How was the interaction? What was discussed? What was it all about? Was there any particular advice that they were seeking? And did they get it from your father?
Well, fortunately, Stephen, that visit of Supra Maumapelo was coordinated through me. Supra Maumapelo, then as premier, requested me to arrange for him to come and visit my father.
Yes.
And I specifically asked him what was the visit all about. And he then told me, look, I'm a Motswana man. I respect Kgosi Mangope. I take him as a father. I'm making a visit on a Sunday. That visit was on a Sunday.
Yes.
Now, I am coming to visit him because I'm a Christian and I know he's a Christian. I'm coming to visit him and check on his health because my father was in bad health at that time. Yeah. So based on that, as a Motswana, I cannot stop another Motswana coming to pay respect to a man that he confessed to respect and to adore for the achievements that he had made. In the province where he was a citizen.
Yes. Oh, okay.
So there were no politics whatsoever that were discussed.
Oh.
I was sitting in that gathering. There were no political issues that were discussed.
And before your father's passing, had you had any discussions with him, about maybe coming back into politics, to try and help, contribute where you can, to try and fix the mess that we find ourselves in?
Well, asking him to do that?
No. Was there any instance perhaps where you had a discussion with him, telling him as your father that you have plans?
Well, at that time, I had no plans, Stephen. I had no plans. I wanted to enjoy my retirement. I had no plans whatsoever. Mm. My plans, Stephen, was to make sure that the village that we have two villages, Muzweli and Masibuda. My plan was to make sure that I bring developmental projects in the villages that are under my domain, which is Muzweli and Masibuda. That was my focus, and fortunately, my wife also, that was her focus, and she gave me the support that we wanted to do things in Muzweli and Masibuda, which things we are doing now. Now I'm wearing two hats.
Yeah.
Now, why do I say I'm wearing two hats? I'm a chief of of two villages, and as you know, the Khosi, most of them don't interfere in politics. But I took a conscious decision to get into politics because of the state of affairs in the province.
Yes.
Now, I'm of the view that I can make a change being within than being outside.
Outside.
Mm. Now, our host institution, unfortunately, has been infiltrated by political ideologies, etc., etc. I don't want to go into that. I'm telling you what my priorities were. Mm. With regards to the village of Mutsweri and Masibudule.
Yeah.
But obviously, I then thought it is better to make better contribution by being inside than by being outside.
Outside, yeah. And then to somebody who might be listening to this podcast interview, Mr. Mangope, looking ahead at 2024, the general election, if you were to, you know, say to people, vote for me, vote for Action SA, people would be asking, obviously, if I vote for you, what do I get in return? What would you say to them would be top priority for you as Action SA in Northwest?
Yeah, it's a very, very
broad question.
Broad question and very appropriate. Now, a few weeks ago, I was talking in Bethany. Mm. We were launching 4 branches, and I said, unfortunately, this is the trend. People will ask, what is it in for me?
Yes.
What is it? Now, the question that you are asking me is precisely that.
Yes.
What is it in for me?
And I think I'm deliberately asking you that question in that way, that fashion, because of, you know, taking into consideration that people are fed up. They've had enough. You know, a lot of promises were made to them over the years. And now you come as you know, Action SA, they will definitely ask you that.
Well, they definitely ask me that, but I think you should also bear in mind of what we say as Action SA.
Mm.
We are all responsible. We must all take responsibility in fixing South Africa.
Uh-huh.
We must all take responsibility in fixing South Africa. And how do we do that? We do that by electing ethical leaders to be at the helm. But that does not mean citizens should not take active part in the affairs
of the party,
or the country.
Uh-huh.
The party is just a vehicle, basically. The party is just a vehicle.
Mm.
We as the people of South Africa, know what is good and what is right for us. Now, Stephen, you and I, if Action SA were to be in power, let's say nationally, you and I are not going to be the beneficiaries of what we think South Africa should be. Your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are going to be the beneficiaries.
Mm.
Now, I'm saying to my people, to the people of South Africa, we should all take responsibility by electing ethical leaders at the helm.
Mm.
That is what I would say. I don't want to make promises, Stephen.
Mm.
I want people to commit to what Action SA values are.
Mm.
And if we live by those values, if we live by the values that Action SA espouses, I'm definitely certain we are going to have an impact and improve the lives of our people.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I are not going to be beneficiaries.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee you.
Absolutely.
Should Action SA be in power.
Yeah. Now, just before I see we're running out of time now, Mr. Mangope, your last message to the residents of Northwest.
My message to the residents of Northwest, ke gore ba gaetso. Re tshwanetse re tshware phage ka mangana. Re tshwanetse go reme. Re a itse, we know we are able to do things. We have been there. We know things can be done the proper way. We know that we should restore law and order, because if there is lawlessness, there is nothing that is going to happen. No investor is going to come into our province when there is lawlessness. Now, These are the issues that we as citizens of Northwest must stand up for so that we are able to resuscitate and to resuscitate the industries that were in Bophuthatswana. Let me give you an example. Babelegi.
Yeah.
Mokwase. Harankua. Mafikeng itself. There are industries that are laying bare now, and yet there are investors who want to come and do invest in this country, but there are certain conditions. There must be law and order for people to be able to come and invest in our country. There must be ethical leadership for people to come and invest in our country.
Sure.
That would be my message to the people of Northwest, to say, I am offering myself to serve, to serve honorably, and I pray to the Lord that he must give me strength and courage to be able to resuscitate the belief of our people in the legacy of my late father. Now, this interview is not about my father.
Yes.
But there are things that we cannot run away from and ignore. Those are the things that should remind us that we are able to do things ourselves.
Yeah. And also to remind people also that, you know, those things was an indication that indeed we were on the right path.
Indeed.
Right? But then something else happened and hampered that whole process.
Process of, of the achievements that we made.
Yes. Okay. Thank Mr. Mangope, I thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Stephen. Oh. Thank you very much for inviting me. I'm hopeful that ba Northwest ba uka, like my father used to say, ke bua batho ga ba nkuwa.
Thank you. Mr. That was Kwena Mangope, chairperson of Action SA in the Northwest Province, talking to us about all the issues affecting residents of that province, as well as, you know, the future. You know, what are they doing to sort of resuscitate, you know, the revive the province of Northwest. Folks, it's been a great pleasure really being in your company. Until we meet again next time, between now and then, you take good care of yourselves, and you can listen to the full podcast interview on www.citizen.co.za. Cheers.